get them early in the day.
No.
Oh, yes.
I would like to introduce Janet Moore, who's the president of the East Metro Immigration District.
Good afternoon, Janet. I'm Nancy Black. We're glad to see you, very glad to see you again, and welcome you.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is you will be giving a 3 to 5 minute introduction. Mm-hmm. Then we have a series of 7 questions that will be asked. Then we'll throw it open to open questions. Mm-hmm. We'll ask you if you have any questions about the role of a trustee. Then you can ask us about the role of a trustee.
Okay.
If you have questions. And then a 2 to 3 minute closing statement if you would like to make one.
Sure.
So if you'd like to begin by making your opening statement.
I will. Thank you very much. Well, thank you so much for this opportunity of coming back before you. I have a very sincere interest in the Minsk-U board. I have been a part of the Minsk-U system in the past, but I'm kind of dating myself, but I have been a part of the educational systems within the state of Minnesota for 40 years. And I've had great opportunities to serve in many different capacities. Served in K-12 education for most of those years, for 35 of them, as a school psychologist, as a teacher, as an elementary principal, as a high school principal, as an assistant principal, and then towards the end of my career as a superintendent of schools. Had great pleasure and great pride working with all of the educators, families, students that I had an opportunity to work with. After my years as a superintendent, I had also the privilege of working at Minnesota State University, Moorhead, where I am alumni. I actually did my undergraduate work at the University of Wisconsin-Superior, and after moving from Superior, Wisconsin to start our, meaning my husband and my, careers in education, I decided to continue my education at Minnesota State University, Moorhead, in their graduate program of administration, school psychology, and counseling. Then I had the great privilege of working there as an associate professor for a year and a half. But that was about at the same time that we were relocating from the Detroit Lakes area to the Twin Cities, and the 245-mile commute was a bit much. Had the opportunity to do it for as long as possible, as Sonia knows. And then I decided that I should take a look at a different opportunity that had been proposed to me. So I did accept another position in the Twin Cities with Intermediate School District 916, which was a tremendous opportunity to work in a collaborative once again, and have the opportunity of working in my former career as a mental health professional, working on the redesign of a mental health program for students that had some barriers in learning opportunities. And I was with them for about 4 years and then had the opportunity of applying for the East Metro Integration District and was accepted as their superintendent, but not too long ago. I started there in April, and it's been a privilege and an honor to work with the 10 member school districts. And having the opportunity to cast a wider net towards working in the collaborative with 120,000 students. And then we also have 2 schools within actually the East Metro District. So I've had great opportunity in the educational arena, working on several sides of the desk. But apart from that, I've had an opportunity as a business owner for 20 years. I have had an opportunity of working on several boards, foundation boards, healthcare boards. So my experience to Minsk-U is pretty well-rounded when I look at the area of education, industry, healthcare, and, of course, governance experience. I see this as a perfect fit at this stage of my career. working at the East Metro Integration District, doing the partnerships that we need to create within that school district setting, and then the potential opportunity of working with the Minsky board. There is synergy between the two, and it would be a nice bridge. And I'll tell you more about the reason why the bridge is because so much of our focus is on career and college readiness for our students and beginning our students at providing them with different levels of opportunity, but as early as the early kindergarten and elementary years. As you well know, high school readiness doesn't start in high school, or college readiness doesn't start in high school. It starts many, many years before. So I bring all of that interest and experience that you may be interested in as me potentially serving with you on the board.
Thank you very much. I'll ask the first question, and that is, please describe your understanding of the role of a trustee. And I think you've covered explaining why you consider yourself a good candidate for this role, but...
But there is more to it than that.
Good.
To be a person in the seat of working on a board of governance, one needs to understand their role. It's your policy, finance primarily, but in the capacity of a state board, you need to understand also the laws that are appropriate to the system and understand how those laws impact the system, how your policies impact the system, your financial structure, where your resources come from, both state, from tuitions and other sources, but to understand the complexity of that. But more importantly is our role in governance is to work in support of our leadership and to work in collaboration with our chancellor, with our university president and leaders, so that we can listen effectively to them and that we can also work in collaboration with them as they work to enhance programs and opportunities for students. We have a great opportunity to serve 400,000 students in the state of Minnesota who attend our institutions. We have great opportunities to work with the communities where those facilities, of which there are nearly 60, that impact nearly 50 communities within our state, that we have an opportunity to also work with them in partnerships and in collaboration to make sure that we provide solid educational programs, that we provide partnerships, and that we work in collaboration and we listen to our constituency on the work that we would do at the board.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, welcome. And I think you probably answered this in your opening remarks, but describe your past board experiences and its relevance to the Board of Trustees.
Mm-hmm. My board experiences have been rather robust. I have served since 1997, so nearly 15, or I guess it is 15 years, for the Benedictine Health System, of which part of my service to them was as their board chair. I also have had the opportunity of working with the University of Wisconsin-Superior on their foundation board, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators on their foundation board, and most recently on the Fairview healthcare system as it relates to the Burnsville Ridges Hospital. So all of those systems are quite complex. They certainly all deal with government funding, as you well know, and all of the changes in strategies and decisions that are made, a lot are contingent upon funding sources. And it has great relevance to the Minsky board, since we deal with policy, finance, governance, oversight, working with our CEOs and presidents on supporting them in the initiatives that they have on their agendas when they're working with their management team. So very similar, the size of our organization, the Minsky board, has a little bit more robust budget of 2.8 or somewhere in the vicinity of between $2 and $3 billion. The other systems, not quite to that level, at least the Benedictine Health System. However, the principles, the policy, the responsibility, the decisions that are made at the table all need to take those very key points into consideration.
Thank you.
What do you see as the key issues on the horizon for higher education in Minnesota, and in particular for the MinSCU system in higher ed?
Well, the challenges are always centered on finance. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. How, you know, I can say we can kind of sort things out and say, okay, we're going to focus on partnerships and program enhancements, technology enhancements, but a lot is always contingent upon the financing that will support those initiatives and sustain them over time. Mm-hmm. So there is a great opportunity. I mean, you can have pilots that are among many of your institution facilities. However, the sustainability is always one that needs to be first and primary on the radar. But I would say that our financial challenges within our state are very great as it relates to education, because we are a huge part of the state budget, mm-hmm. As we all know. However, we need to, no one can do it all on their own any longer. So one needs to look for partnerships with the K-12 programs, with within our higher education settings, so that we're not duplicating programs, we're partnering with one another in our programs. How are we partnering with our potential employers or industry and business? And how are we, you know, when we have about, oh, maybe 6,000 or 7,000 people that are educated through opportunities to provide professional development to our industries. And there's nice wraparound service that can happen with that. We can gain from them, they can gain from us. A lot of it's for financial sustainability as well, and how we structure our partnerships in order to not duplicate services, but to complement one another.
This one won't be, this one will not tax you, I don't think. It's describe your understanding of diversity and your experience working with diverse populations. Mm-hmm. Now, you've been on the, as the school superintendent and seeing the new kids coming into schools, you've had considerable experience, I would guess, with
this. Yes, I take diversity very seriously.
Yeah.
One slide from a document that I was looking at not too long ago, I can't seem to get the picture or the words out of my mind, but that a young African American male in a large metropolitan city within the United States has a greater chance of going to jail mm-hmm. than to college. Mm-hmm. That's devastating.
Yeah.
That's devastating to me as a professional, a mental health professional, and we need to provide equitable learning for all students. We need to take a look at students and the barriers that they may have, whether it's the socioeconomic differences, whether it's the language barriers, multiple other barriers, and all of you, I know, are very familiar with those as well as I am. But we need to take a look at what are the barriers to students feeling confident enough to take that next step to go to a higher education program, whichever program they may choose. Yeah. It's our responsibility, it's our moral purpose to see to it that all children have opportunities to gain from the educational opportunities that we have within this rich and robust environment of the state of Minnesota. I'm very proud of what we can offer students, and more of them can take advantage of these opportunities. And we hope that they do. But we as adults need to be responsible for that. Looking at the statistics on the website a couple of days ago, we have some of our institutions that have as low as 6% and 7% diversity, to others, which are more in the metro area, with a little over 50%. And so where are, certainly we have some communities within our greater Minnesota communities that don't have quite the diversity of some of our communities in the metro area. However, is it because they really aren't there, or is it because they're not coming to the door of the institution? So that needs some self-examination and some really some very serious a lens in which we look upon the students that have the opportunity to come to our universities and what barriers potentially may be preventing them from coming.
Okay. What then is your vision for maximizing access to educational opportunities for students?
Well, part of it is our partnerships with our K-12 educational institutions. We have a great population of students within our K-12 environment. And are we providing opportunities for those students to come into our institutions to increase our capacity of students coming into our programs from Minnesota? And I remember a couple of years ago, and I couldn't find this recently on the website, but maybe I didn't dig deeply enough, about 80% of the students in our institutions were once Minnesota-based students. So I don't know if we've drifted afar from that or not. But we have a rich and robust educational opportunity. Tuition prevents some students from going towards the institutions, not just ours, but any institution. College is expensive. However, we have tremendous counselors within our K-12 educational programs and others who can begin to work with parents and with staff to increase that education that one needs in order to better understand the financial opportunities, because there's financial aid, as you well know. There's certainly private pay, but we need to have that financial broad financial obligations potentially better understood, and how one can move towards an educational setting, even if they see the dollars in front of them looking as though they're barriers. How can we break that down to show them other opportunities for finance?
Describe the unique challenges of a system comprised of technical, community colleges, and state universities.
Now, are you wanting to talk about city by city or just the challenges?
I think it challenges system-wide.
For the technology?
For the technical institutions, community colleges, and state universities. Do you see any unique challenges working with these three different tech groups?
No, I don't. There, if you're referring to the technical institutions, or are you referring to technology in general?
I think the question is, it is very unusual to have a system that is composed of technical institutions, community colleges, what we call consolidated, which is technical and community college, and seven state universities. Mm-hmm. And we're saying, what are the challenges when you have the needs of perhaps different institutions within the same system?
Well, I see that particular structure within the state of Minnesota as robust and quite impressive, because there are students who would not select a four-year university, but they may select a technical college or a community college because it seems to fit their goals better than potentially a different university. Plus, we have the opportunity of, if they do start in one particular area, they can easily transfer into a different... if they start at a technical college, they can transfer almost seamlessly into a community college or into a university. Plus the sites, many of our sites are much smaller than others, which is attractive, maybe breaks down less of the intimidation that one might have in order to get into a particular college or community college, when maybe starting at a technical college would be the perfect plan. Plus the articulation agreements that high schools have with technical colleges and community colleges also help bridge those opportunities for students. So I see that as a beautiful opportunity for kids. Plus, they are so well positioned within the state of Minnesota that there's hardly an opportunity where one would have a barrier of transportation or relocating to that particular facility when you're impacting nearly, 60 communities within the state of Minnesota. So I see it's pretty robust. On the other side, however, we have to be careful that we're not duplicating programs and services to the point where we may be duplicating them too much and then would be providing some challenges, financial challenges and barriers for the system.
Thank you.
What could be perceived as a conflict of interest for you in a trustee role, and how would you handle this situation?
At the present time, I don't see any conflict of interest with my role as a superintendent of schools or as a board member on a healthcare system. However, the responsibility of a board member is that you keep on dealing with self-evaluation pertaining to a potential conflict of interest. For example, if there are partnerships that arise on the scene that could be a conflict of interest for any one of the facilities, community, school district, you absolutely have the responsibility as a board member to make that known immediately, not only to your board chair, but you need to make it known publicly. And then you have to have that conversation to determine, is it truly a conflict of interest and where does that cross that line? And then it's your responsibility to figure that out and resolve it so it is not a conflict of interest.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, those are the 7 questions. Now, the board, would anybody like to ask a question? Yeah.
And again, what is your understanding of Title IX and its role within the Minsky system?
With Title IX, are you referring primarily to the athletic opportunities?
No, I'm not. Not just athletics.
Okay, in general. I'm familiar with Title IX and the equal opportunities for gender. It's important that we have equal opportunities for gender in all areas within the programs that we serve. I wouldn't know at this point in time if you have an imbalance of programs that you are offering that kind of offset one gender over another. I would hope that you don't, but I don't know that for a fact.
Thank you.
Sonia?
Within your role as a trustee, within the role of trustee, much attention is given to the University of Minnesota and the Minsky system here in the Twin Cities. But there are greater Minnesota institutions that need equal attention outside of the Twin Cities. How would you assure the equal attention to those institutions?
Thank you for asking that question, because I'm very familiar with greater Minnesota mm-hmm. and the institutions that are served in that capacity with for example, in the Fargo-Moorhead area, I was impressed and pleased with the outreach to Red Lake, which was quite a distance to travel for some of the courses that we offered, but it was important that we traveled to destinations where we could provide cohorts for students who were wanting to attain their master's program, actually, in those situations. We have great opportunities in greater Minnesota to have many very added value pockets of potential educators and potential people within business and industry that would like to provide educational opportunities, but rather than bringing 20 people in or 30 people in, it makes more sense for us to go to them. So that creates a lot of not just marketing, but it takes relationships and building relationships with our communities within a 50-60 mile radius where we have our institutions that we can provide those value-added services. Not a whole lot of fun driving back on some of those roads in the wee hours of the morning in the winter months, but it certainly was well worth it when you saw them walk the stage in full cap and gown to provide them with those opportunities.
Ron?
If you had a choice, which type of subcommittee of the Board of Trustees you would choose to sit on, what would its objective be?
The subcommittees of the Board of
Trustees. There's six or seven subcommittees, but what's your focus of interest that you would bring to the Board of Trustees?
Primarily, my focus of interest is looking at students who might not otherwise come to our institution because of potential barriers that they have had in their life. One of the passions of my work since the early 70s has been working with providing educational opportunities for students who had challenges and some who have even had to leave high school and needed a second chance to return. So in the community in which I served, primarily was Detroit Lakes. We started one of the second alternative learning centers within the state of Minnesota in the late 70s. And that was a challenge to get that started, but it provided an opportunity for well over 100 students within a very short period of time to enter back into an educational program, some of who finished, some did not, but at least it provided us an opportunity to figure out what other services could we connect them to if they needed that connectivity.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. There are other questions? I just have one question. Mm-hmm. If you could expand a little about, you mentioned that there were articulation agreements between high schools and community colleges. I'm not sure exactly what you mean by that.
Well, with the post-secondary education program, college mm-hmm. and school, we have had many, many opportunities to provide some robust programming for students that otherwise didn't have it. So I am very proud to say that I have a niece that's graduating in Washington State. One evening she graduated with a high school diploma and two evenings later with an AA degree from a local community college. Took great advantage of the courses that she was able to take in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade by having the opportunities of getting a pretty good running start at a college program.
I'll say more than a running start. That's great.
Right.
Thank you very much.
But we need to begin to open up those doors of opportunity that builds confidence mm-hmm. and hopefully and gives parents confidence as well. To challenge their sons and daughters to continue on their journey in an educational program to eventually and hopefully get a 2-year degree, a 4-year degree, a master's degree, a postmaster's degree. That would be, that's the work that we do.
Thank you. Any other questions, Dave?
Yeah, can you think of any downside to the post-secondary enrollment option?
No. No, I can't.
Okay. I'm showing all the applicants. This is the packet that you're supposed to. This was last meeting's packet. See, most of it is double-sided for the Board of Trustees. Mm-hmm. There are 9 meetings usually during the year. There are 2 days mm-hmm. of meetings. And this packet is based on a lot of subcommittee work that's been done. Given the very responsible position you have as superintendent of students, Do you think you're going to be able to find the time to do this? Yes, yes, I see you shaking your head already, yes?
No question about it.
Okay.
It would be an honor.
Good. Thank you. Is there any question you have about the role of a Minskew trustee or the responsibilities?
No, I think I have a pretty good idea of what the role and the responsibility would be with as being part of the board. And I just have to say that I find it a great honor to know about all of the robust educational opportunities in our state of Minnesota. And the Minskew system is well known throughout the country. It's one of the largest state college and university programs within the country, and it would be certainly an honor to serve. I have great respect for the program. I've got great respect for the universities, the community colleges, and the technical colleges that provide educational opportunities for our students. So it would be certainly a great honor to serve the 400,000 students that are a part of our community.
Thank you very much. You do have an opportunity for a closing statement, but that certainly sounded like one to me. If there's anything else you'd like to add, here's your opportunity, or we can just say thank you very much. It's up to you.
I think I've probably provided you with the information that I have for today, and I just appreciate this opportunity. It's been a pleasure to see most of you again. And it would certainly, I can't state strongly enough that it would be an honor to serve. It's such an honor to serve the East Metro Integration District and the 120,000 students, and to add 400,000 to the pool. It's a great honor. I mean, there's nothing better than providing the educational opportunities for students. There's just no greater reward.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. How did the FBI treat you? Were they respectful? Were they